Zentaholics, it's the Rad Tribal Podcast.
Synthaholics. My name is Holly, and I've got two guys with me today. You probably know them. They don't know themselves, though. So I've got Aaron O'Brien and David Duncan.
How dare you decide my gender for me?
Hello.
Oh, my mistake. I know. Would you like to reintroduce yourself?
No, I'm fine. I'm one of the guys. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. I'm just one of the guys.
This week, we are going to talk about two episodes that have already been covered. So, either Aaron or David are going to give you guys, or direct you to the past episodes that these were on. I'm sure they already know the episode numbers and all that jazz. Because
the offspring with Michelle Specht, and the reason was, no, not the offspring.
No, it's not the offspring.
Well, I'm just thinking the offspring because that's why I made the gender joke because, like, he's walking down the Lal before Lal is, he's like going down. That's a man. That's a woman. It's like, how dare you disturb this inside my sex form?
How dare you?
Well, dare I introduce our episode?
Yes, you should do that because I'm not on the same page, apparently.
Do dare.
So we're going to discuss The Measure of a Man and who watches the Watchers.
Who watches the Watchers, indeed?
The Watchmen watch the Watchers. But just before we jump all into that, you can find the show at Synthaholics.com. If you haven't checked out our website, please do check out the Facebook page at Facebook.com/group/Synthaholics. You can tweet at us at Synthaholics. That's at the Holicaduo. I personally am at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. And Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
Yeah, nice. And definitely tweet us if you have anything you want to say. If you're, disagree with us, agree with us. If you have another idea. And also, just let us know what you think of the show.
You can email us at SynthaHolics@yahoo.com. And Holly was hoping to make us an Instagram, I think. But I don't think we've done that yet.
Oh, it was. I completely forgot about that.
we will be doing that soon. But guys, in case you just want to know real quick, we did cover these in the past. So, we did Measure of a Man, and that is, episode 143, and that's with Kipley Brown.
Oh, that's such a good episode. She was such a wonderful guest. I really want to have her back on. We were supposed to talk Alien and Covenant, but that didn't work out yet.
Yeah, she had some family things going on, so we didn't get a chance to do that. And then we did talk about Who Watches the Watcher, and that was episode 174, and we had Robbie Palmer from the Nerdynomicon, and that was, I think that was it just me and him, I think, for that episode?
Yeah, I was not there.
Yeah. So, if you want to go in a deep dive and listen to what, both were very fun podcasts. Robbie's always fun to hear his take on things. And, Kipley Brown, she was, pretty funny as well. So,
and we had a whole long take on, like, what is life and
oh my God.
And, like, the intelligence test for, like, what measures intelligence. Like, if you can see the split, wave form or the particle form, like, what
was it? Was that that one or was that the, Michelle Speck one? I can't remember.
No, I think that was The Measure of a Man because we were talking about artificial intelligence and what is life and like what will be determined, like what point can life observe the dual slit experiment?
Oh, that's right. Because dual slit, that's, if you want to blow your mind, has to do with, that has a lot to do with also, is light a wave or a particle kind of thing. So
it's both at the same time.
Yes, and it'll blow your mind. So
and just, neither when you observe it.
Yes, exactly. So, go back and listen to those if you feel like it. This episode, we're going to just kind of talk, we're going to glaze over basically, I'm not going to do as much breakdown, but we're going to kind of focus more on Picard because our thought is we want to get really primed for this Picard series coming up. So we're going to be focusing on some Picard-centric episodes.
Our thoughts to his thoughts.
Yes.
His mind to our mind.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I think off the list, I didn't put on the one where Sarek gets the Benzai syndrome, which...
That would be great, because that way they could link Picard to Star Trek Discovery, since Sarek is such this, you know, this thing with Michael. So, like, maybe a lot of his emotions and screaming, maybe that could come out in the Picard show. He can yell something about Michael. Don't go to the future, Michael! Don't do it!
Don't go! Don't go! Stay here!
You didn't have any reason to! Control was defeated! You could have stayed!
Yeah, what is that? What is that from? Is that from something? That sounds like that's from something.
I was just making stuff up. Like, control was defeated. Like, they had no reason to go into the future.
You could have stayed. I don't know. That sounds like something else. It's like another, whatever.
I'm channeling some other script I've heard from somewhere. Maybe I don't. Yeah, know. Right. I can't. I couldn't tell you. I was just improvising. Oh, something Picard could say as Sarek about what happened in Discovery season 2.
Yes. So yeah, we are going to get into season 2 here, and this is Measure of Man. This is season 2, episode 9, and it first aired February 13th, 1989. And it comes...
Not a dick measuring contest, just FYI.
and it has to do with the...
Chickens.
The Enterprise comes to a new starbase, Starbase 173, and it's a newly established starbase, and they don't really have much going on. They're just kind of setting up the starbase. And while we first get a scene of Data playing cards and how he gets kind of like bluffed by Riker, so Data still hasn't got the whole human thing down, which obviously we know. and then we get Picard. He's at on the starbase, like in the restaurant or tavern bar, and he runs into one of his
old flings who used to be very rough with him in the bedroom.
Well, this was
kind of felt like that, yeah.
Philippa, and she is a captain, also.
Flipping
and
Giorgio.
No, and
God.
And she is the JAG officer for this sector. And she was also part of the court-martial of when Picard lost the Stargazer.
Oh, where have we heard about the Stargazer before?
And you can hear about the whole thing with the Stargazer in our last episode, where we talk about season one, the battle. And that was our first dive into the Picard.
Damon Bach. Sebastian Bach. I bet he played good music.
Maybe he did. But we'll never know because he's in prison now.
You know what Ferengi prisons are? I bet there's just a bunch of people holding money up too high for you to like reach, and they're just jumping for the money.
Maybe it's one of those tubes where they blow the money around you and you're supposed to catch as much as you can.
And then they take it away to their hand. You don't get to keep any of it.
And you're like, nah, you don't get to keep
that. But the thing is, all their money is like gold-placed platinum, so it probably like just cuts you because it's like slips of metal.
Cut you to ribbons.
Death by money.
During this time when it seemed like it was part of the court martial, but also she was, they had some kind of relationship at one point. It wasn't really totally clear, but it might have been just like a dating, or maybe it was sexual. Hard to tell.
I don't know. She flat out said sexy man. So
she did sexy man. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd bend you over my table right now, Picard, if I were you. I'm going to peg you.
Yes, going to court-martial him.
That's what they call it now in the future.
Yes, that's what they call it in the future. So, during this time, one of the admirals show up, Nakamura, and he has this commander, Bruce Maddox. And Bruce Maddox is a cyberneticist, and once they go on to the Enterprise, Maddox claims that he plans to take Data and disassemble him and find out how he works.
He's got a face almost as punchable as young Spock from Discovery.
Yes, he does. And he... That's a deep cut. He definitely doesn't seem to have it all together, because even when they have this quick meeting, Data says, how do you plan to transfer my memories to a computer without having all these different components in line. And Maddox can't answer this. And so Data doesn't want to do it. And then Maddox says, ah, that's too bad, because I already have the transfer orders. You will be doing what I tell you to do. Kind of.
As to love him is to know him. As to love him happened yet? Because couldn't Data just tell him
it
about
did
that?
Happen already, yes. Schizoid Man happens before that.
Couldn't Data just tell him how to do that, right?
Didn't they have the machine still?
They probably have the machine with him still in it. The Schizoid Man. To love him is to know him is to love him.
Yes. That's a great episode as well. But that's more Data-centric.
Not Picard-centric, sorry.
Yes. So Picard jumps into action, and he goes to Flippa and basically says, hey, this is happening. I got to stop it. And she needs to... she basically says she's understaffed. She only has like one ensign working under her right now. And he says, well, we have to have a trial.
Working under her.
you'll have to be the defendant, and Riker will have to be the prosecutor. And obviously Riker doesn't want to do that at all.
But he gets such a big hard on when he finds out how to win the case.
He's like, oh, I can do
it. And then he feels ashamed about it too. Yeah. Just the look on his face is like, oh, yep, I hit a hard on, and now he feels bad about it.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of funny to see him go, like, the motion, like, get a smile, like, oh, I can peg him here, and like, oh, I'm going to fuck Data over. So from there, a trial ensues, and we see Picard spring into action for, you know, defending Data and trying to show that Data is actually a sentient. And the whole idea is, what does sentient actually... what does a sentient creature actually comprise of?
What does it take to be sentient? And we go balls to the wall on the Kipley Brown episode. I definitely encourage you to listen to that.
Right. We have a lot of fun talking about that. And, there's a brief meeting, too, between Picard and Guinan, and where Guinan says, you know, it's funny, there's a lot of disposable races or people in different cultures that get kind of just given the garbage jobs, and and they're disposable people. And then Picard's saying, you're talking about slavery. It's like, and she's like, I didn't use those words, but he's like, that's exactly what it is. So Picard realizes if Maddox is successful in replicating Data, then we've basically made Data into a slave race, the androids into a slave race. And, that would be, you know, deplorable, of course. So during that time, we go through all the different things of what makes Data sentient and a life form, basically. We go through all his belongings. So we go through, like, he has his medals. He has a book from Picard, and he has the portrait of Tasha Yar.
It strips for him, but they don't show that part.
That would be kind of funny, actually.
Oh, that makes me think of Earth Girls Are Easy with the little
I forgot about that.
The thing is, like, she stole a bunch of Troy's clothing for him, like, for her to keep trying on different ones for Data.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, she did in the episode, and she steals a bunch of Troy's clothes before she has sex with Data.
Who steals him?
Tasha.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She does, doesn't she? I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's what she changes in the hologram. You just don't see that. They just don't show us that part.
Right. Yeah, that was naked now or naked time. I can't remember.
See, naked, Holly. You're like hi-ya-ya-ing me.
That was the name of the episode.
No, I believe you. I'm the fact that I'm actually visualizing this weird striptease.
It's way sexier than you thought it was going to be, right? Now I'm visualizing Holly visualizing the Tasha striptease.
Now we know we're in trouble. So. So Data, for the criteria of sentience is that Maddox at least puts out is intelligence and self-awareness. And, Picard kind of breaks down each one. and what is actually, you know, if he's self-aware and stuff like that. So, it's very interesting. And, at the very end, Philippia says, you know, I can't, answer all these things, but I have to answer to the future generations of
slavery is bad. We should not do that.
Yes. Slavery bad. No, 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 no. And, she basically says, Data is, sentient and, he has a freedom to choose what he wants to do. So, Captain Picard is successful. So,
and then they go have dinner.
Then they all have dinner together. So, what do you guys think of Picard for this episode here? So, we have, you know, obviously this is like more of a legal. There's not like really no action to this episode whatsoever. But
Law and Order in space.
Yeah, it is Law and Order in space. But it's interesting to see, this is where we see the ethical, moral side of Picard jump mm-hmm. into full picture. Who would like to maybe talk about this for a moment?
I mean, this
we're
is
all
definitely
going to. We don't want to.
Can I hold the talking stick?
Go, Dave.
You hold the talking stick.
The speak of talking.
Magic conch.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Lord of the Flies. Right, right. All right.
This definitely gives us our first, probably one of our deep dives with Data and Picard, because definitely we're going to see Picard's guilt over Data's death. From what we've seen in the trailer, it seems like that's going to play a part in the story in some way. And this is probably the beginning of their bonding. I feel like Data was sort of like the Spock-ish character, although the relationship between Data and Picard never seemed as strong between Kirk and Spock, because he wasn't like the first officer. He was like the third officer. So third is like a second officer.
True. But I a little pushback on that. I think, it always seems like Picard was always looking at Data as maybe a father would look at his child.
Yeah.
You know,
I get that.
Like, he's like, not that he doesn't respect Data and he doesn't think that Data can't do his job, but
he thinks Data can't have children. That's what he thinks.
No, but there's a part of him that kind of feels like maybe, you know, he needs a little guidance or protection when it comes. And this is where, and I feel like one of those things where he feels like he needs to protect one of his own, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, he definitely needs to protect his crew. I'm not saying like that they're not close, but I'm just saying it just doesn't seem as close as the Kirk and Spock thing. And sure. In Star Trek Nemesis, they're definitely trying to pull the Spock and Kirk dynamic, and it wasn't really there the same way as it was in TOS as it is as they're trying to make it feel.
Oh yeah,
In Next Gen, which is a kind of strange thing that they're still playing on that card from what we can tell from the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting, but I mean, this is like one of our first things where Picard just like goes out on a like, full limb for one of his crew. And Data specifically. And I feel like he definitely goes out for Data a lot further than he does, probably for most people. And that parental instinct is probably a really good point. What about you?
I just, real quick, I had watched Time's Arrow 1 and 2 recently again. And it's funny when they find Data got all, you know, they found his head in that cave from, you know, centuries ago.
Oh, yeah, that's a good episode.
Picard's, just the way he looks at Data is sort of like, he's got a deep concern and worry for him. Like what's going to happen that you're going to like lose your head and technically die.
He's going to meet the Queen of Hearts. Off yes. with his head.
Off with his head. But anyways, that's my thought. Holly, do you want to say something about this episode?
Yeah, but I wanted to add, I think that Picard, throughout all of the episodes, you know, when it comes to Data, I think he's just one of those inquisitive minds, and he just likes to observe life.
Picard or Data?
Picard.
Okay.
But Data Picard wants, does get really upset when Data starts listing things off ad nauseum.
Yeah, especially in the early episodes.
And he made him get rid of the pipe. The pipe was the best thing. I wish Data walked around with a pipe forever. That would have been fantastic.
I don't think that's a uniform code.
Right.
Hey, what Troy wears isn't uniform code, and I thoroughly approve.
I don't quite understand what Troy's uniform issue is. Like, is she part of Starfleet or isn't she?
She is, it's because she wants to.
But she's like, I'll just wear whatever I feel like coming to work in.
It's casual Friday every day for business.
She's not showing up naked.
It's cleavage Friday.
Cleavage Friday.
Every day on the bridge of the Enterprise.
I need to be on that ship.
Friday somewhere.
It's naked Friday somewhere. But, you know, Gene Roddenberry, the reason she always had cleavage out because Gene Roddenberry wanted to have three boobs. So instead of three boobs, she just has cleavage all the time.
Well, maybe let's make something up here. But maybe it makes people a little less guarded around her so she can read them better.
Because they're trying to read her tits.
They're not thinking about hiding their emotions if they're looking at her tits.
It's funny you say that, Holly, because I think there was a joke in one of a Wonder Woman comic where she lassos a guy because, you know, the lasso makes him tell the truth, and it totally distracts him because the guy goes, man, you got big boobs or something like that. It's like, because he can't stop, he can't not tell the truth. I don't know.
That's awesome.
What you made me think of immediately.
Just speaking of three boobs in Star Trek The Next Generation, Miss Selena Gomez from the 1Q episode, she was the three-boobed girl in the original Total Recall.
Was she?
Yes.
Wow. I did not know that.
So three boobs did touch Star Trek in some way.
Sure.
They got titty smacked.
Well, as far as Picard.
Let's reel it back in, people. Yeah.
Strong nipple on his bald head.
I just liked that he was all over the place with his emotions in this episode. So it showed you what he is capable of. You know, he was lustful. He seemed to be showing a bit of disgust and distrust and shock. And, you know, at one point he was frantic and solemn. And then, you know, back to a little bit of flirtatiousness. But I don't know. I just liked that it showed a wide range. Like, he was like, yes. And then he was like, God, fuck. Like, it was good to see what kind of emotions he harbors and that he's willing to share.
Yeah. And that he did have some kind of thing with Flippa, but then he goes to her and she kind of she's teasing him still and he goes, I'm not joking right now. I need your help, you know?
Right.
And she, you know, she was reading him wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she had to reel it back and kind of okay, you know.
I'll court-martial you later after we're done with this trial.
Yes, that's right.
Before you leave.
And I feel like it's not really Picardy, but there was one thing I wanted to mention about the episode that I think is interesting because, you know, they were at such odds, he and Philippa. But I just felt like the court-martialing and, well, not the court-martialing, but the jury that they had to put together, it kind of mirrors what's going on with the United States political climate about interpreting our Constitution right now.
Okay.
And so she's working, you know, to the letter of the law, and he's technically you're right. But technically, you're also wrong.
Yeah, there's the letter of the law and then there's spirit of the law.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes the spirit of the law might be a little bit different than the letter of the law. Or it might be the same, but you can read it in different ways.
Right.
Just like Worf, who's always trying to do the spirit of Klingon law, even though... He's trying to follow the letter of Klingon law, even though he doesn't understand the spirit of Klingon law at all.
I know. They're like, you don't get us. We just say we're honorable. It doesn't mean we're going to do that.
Right.
We try to bribe people to get us taken to safety when we're going to go on trial. Oh, wait, that's Drumhead. But still, that's Klingon honor for you.
It's interesting, and it's... you know, and Holly, you're more involved, not that you know what a JAG officer's, courtroom would look like, but I mean, you're more in touch with the military side. So, I'm never sure how a JAG court case would go for anything to that. I mean, other than I've seen, Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson movie where Tom Cruise plays the JAG officer.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, you can't handle the truth. About.
Yeah.
You know? Tony yeah. Maguire?
No. Toby Maguire? No.
Oh, wait, no, that's wrong.
There's a Jerry Maguire movie.
Jerry Maguire.
That's
Toby Maguire.
Show me the money.
Never mind. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Hot Shots.
Yeah, Hot Shots. That was the... That was a
Charlie Sheen.
Yes, Hot Shots.
I want to cook eggs on a woman's belly one day.
Oh my god, that was
cooking eggs
scene.
On a woman's belly means she's probably dead. So maybe don't make that a life aspiration.
Or she has a very high fever.
Or that.
It happened in the movie, Holly. It was hot. It was the sex scene. He cooked eggs on her belly.
Yeah, because Hot Shots is like a airplane movie, but military, and there's
it's like
scene
down where- Periscope.
Yes, down yeah. Periscope.
It's
yes.
down Periscope, but funnier, I think.
In the air.
You need to watch these movies if you haven't seen them, Holly.
I have seen parts of Hot Shots.
and Michael the whole time goes, this is not how military is.
It's how it should be, though.
Oh, man.
All right, so anything else we want to... Holly, do you want to talk about this? Obviously, we're going off track. Hot Shots.
No, that's all I really didn't have much to say other than I really enjoyed seeing his... I'm sure there are more on his emotional spectrum, but it was a good here and there episode, so...
Yeah. I think this is, like I said before, I kind of see... Picard, especially with Data, not so much with everyone else. I mean, he does protect his other his crew members, but it seems like Data, he takes a definite interest to help him and protect him when certain things comes. Not that he needs it all the time, but there's certain times, like this is a moment where things are out of his control, and Picard is at a higher level with his rank. And maybe even with experience, and he can say, hey, you know, you don't have to do any of this. You can resign. We can fight this in the courtroom. So, like, he's definitely willing to push this as far as he possibly can. And this is an excellent episode just to see. It's an excellent episode altogether. I mean, the last, minute between Data and Riker... You know, got me kind of choked up. You know,
yeah,
just that how he was like, you know, says, you're a wise man, Data. He says, no, sir, but I'm trying, and with your help, I'll become, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's so good. And if you've got the Blu-rays, there's an extended cut of this, and it's really good. Yeah, it just adds a couple little things here and there. It was a little more of the birthday party, more with Mr. Punchable Maddox. But it's really good. And, they had it at the Phantom event. I mean, the going away party.
Going away party, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was like, did birthday. I miss something?
No, I meant the going away party. Yeah, I was just like, yeah. It's on the, I believe it's on the Blu-ray. There's an extended version of Measure of the Man. And then back when they were releasing the Blu-rays, they had the Fathom event where it was in the movie theater and I got to go see it on the big screen. It was really, really cool.
Nice. Ooh. Very cool. I think this is a great episode where you see, not like Data, to you. I'm sorry. Like Holly said,
well, Dave's a woman today, so
no. Don't judge my sexuality.
No, I said Data.
Confused.
I actually said Data.
Oh,
sorry, Holly. I'm not trying to equate you to Data.
Gotcha.
No, but how you know you're saying how he had a wide range of emotion and how he kind of reacted to each roadblock that he came. You know, during this the story arc, so that's great. But I think it's just that he's willing to fight, and he's really for the people that he thinks are obviously worth putting the fight for.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he seems to take Data as his own personal, maybe not project himself, but that he feels like this is very important to foster him to find his humanity. Because this is what Data wants to do.
Well, yeah, especially in a world that is feeling that an android has no say in its life and that, you know, this argument about, you know, being sentient.
Right. We've talked about this before on the show, just that sentience, like we've seen... ships become sentient. I mean, and we've seen the, holograms, like, Dr. Moriarty become sentient.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you're like, yeah, he doesn't fight for them quite as much. You know, like, Picard saved Moriarty in a program.
He just locks him up and's like, here, this will be someone else's problem later.
Someday, yeah, just put him in this box and I don't have to deal with him.
You know what would be great is if on Star Trek Lower Decks they find that little cube.
That would be awesome. That
maybe would be it's cool. Like more. A bookcase. You'll see it on someone's bookcase.
Yeah,
I want them to unleash it on the least important ship in Starfleet. Moriarty just takes it for a joyride. That would be great.
Oh, God.
That would be funny.
They had me locked in here for how long? Because we don't know when Lower Decks takes place.
It looks like it's probably where current, like the Picard show is going to be.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the uniforms look a little bit different. Like they look post next gen, but not sure exactly when.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Should we jump to the next one? Next episode.
Aye aye. Yes.
All right, so we are going to talk about Who Watches the Watcher, and this is Season 3, Episode 4, and this aired October 16th, 1989. And this is where the Enterprise is going to a outpost where these anthropologists are watching these Matonkans, and they are proto-Vulcan humanoids in the Bronze Age. And they're hidden within a compound that's like has a holograph over them, so you can't actually see them.
We've discovered tin and copper.
If you put tin and copper together, it makes bronze.
Just wait till you discover iron.
I did notice he had the one hunter had a nice compound bow that seemed to be made of other material.
Yeah, that's right.
It looked like it was made out of some kind of fiberglass or some sort of something. I don't know.
Some polyester filament.
Yes. While they're going to come make some repairs, I guess there's something going on with their power plant. There's an explosion. Strangely enough, the communication still goes on during the explosion, so it didn't lose all its power. And
they lost the holograms, the most important part.
And the people are injured, and the Enterprise goes to Warp 9 and races off. During that time, we get two Matonkans that are walking to do their daily duties. There's the father, Liko, and the daughter, Oji, and they see the compound that's the holograph has been, you know, that's not there anymore, so they can see it in full view. And when the father, Liko, goes to check it out, he climbs up, looks up the window, gets a shock. That's
someone left the taser on.
Yeah, he gets a shock from touching the wall, and he falls back, and he is injured pretty bad. And this is where Crusher comes in, and she beams him up to save him.
Yes, hologram's gone wild. The hologram killed him.
It didn't really make a lot of sense to me because, like, the power was gone.
Yes.
But there was electrical.
It's like arcing everywhere.
Yeah. That didn't make a lot of sense to me.
A lot of stuff. Maybe it's just like just walking
the
around.
The power was leaking all over Leland.
At Liko. His name's Liko. Not Leland. It's not Leland. It is Leland Palmer from Twin Peaks, though, by the way.
Yes. That's why I call him Leland.
Right. So from there, like I said, Crusher beams him up to just instinctually and to sick bay to save him. Later, Picard pretty much, is pissed off at
her. Reams her out.
Yeah, pissed off at her, saying, you know, that, you know, this is a violation of the Prime Directive.
Do you remember what happened in Justice?
Yes, exactly.
We had a god ship that's in between dimensions try to shake us down when we brought up one of his little nymphos onto our ship.
Nymphos. Anyways, so Crusher says that she's going to do a memory wipe, and when she fixes up Liko, beams him out of the planet, but unfortunately the memory wipe doesn't work, and he tells his daughter, Oji, everything that happens.
I saw a nympho in space.
I saw the guy.
The Picard.
He is the all-seeing, all-powerful god. And
he got court-martialed once. It was great.
During that time, they are still missing one of the people in the outpost are still missing. He kind of rolled out the window, so strangely enough. He actually kind of jumped out the window.
He was doing the Geordi safety roll through a window off a cliff.
And somehow he lived. But he's missing, and so they're trying to find him. During that time, they're doing scans, but they can't seem to find him just with a simple scanning. And so they send down Riker and Troy, but they're altered to look like Metonkans. And during this time, we find that Leeko is completely convinced that all the old stories of this myth of the Overseer is real. And his name is Picard, and he's, you know, what he's experienced is, it proves it. And even Riker and Troy try to debunk him, but right after that, they find the missing scientist, Palmer. He's brought in. He's like, see, he's real now. And they saying that there might be others of them. They should be looking for them. And this is where Troy and Riker try to distract them and save the scientist.
I've got cleavage over here.
And
don't mind what he's doing. Just take a look at the cleavage.
And Troy takes and says, I saw another one out here. And they all go racing out. And at this point, Riker
they leave the old man to watch this prisoner.
Yeah, and Riker ties up the old man. And takes.
You really need to use a better knot.
You may call me old man.
Old man. Could you imagine if that's all your name is in the town?
Old man.
And so,
not old man Pete, just old man.
Riker throws the scientist Palmer over his shoulder and runs off with him, but he's seen by Oji, and then they all start chasing him. And but he does get they do get beamed up. But during that time, they realize that Riker and Troy were working together, and they imprison Troy.
If she weighs as much as a duck, she's a witch.
She's a witch. Turn me into a newt. I got better.
Got better.
Let's weigh her. See if she weighs as much as a goose.
Little tiny rocks. During that point, there's a huge debate of what they're going to do. The one of the lead anthropologist scientists that were studying the Metonkans basically says, "Just go down and tell them." You know, this is all a mistake. You know, we've already broke the Prime Directive. It can't get any worse than this. And Picard's like, there's got to be a way to change it. And so he decides that he's going to beam up their leader, Nuria. And he takes her up and tries to, like, have her see that they're not gods. They're just highly advanced people like them. And he tries to logically take her through the steps.
Listen, we've discovered steel.
Yes.
It's a little bit better than bronze.
A little bit better. A little bit better. And then they, she slowly comes around. You see her kind of wax and wane. Like one moment she totally gets it. You think she's got it. Next minute it's like, well, why don't you bring back the dead? You know, it's like, I can't do that. So, next, we get, because Nuri is gone and she's basically the voice of reason of this, village or group of people. Leeko just totally goes nuts. And
Leland, I swear!
And then he decides that he's going to kill Troy because there's a thunderstorm. And
they killed poor Lara Palmer. I'm going to kill Troy!
And this is where he's going to fire an arrow at her. And at the last minute, Picard beams down with Nuria, the town leader, and they try to persuade Leeko not to shoot Troy. And at this point, Leeko... Yeah, go ahead.
Did you mention? I'm not sure. I think you did. Mm-hmm. Not. That she only believes him because somebody died on...
Yeah, she's... I kind of glossed over it. Oh, but okay. Yeah, I mean, she sees the older lady, you know, dies of her injuries, I'm assuming, from the explosion. Mm-hmm. And that's when Nuria realizes that they have no power over death. When they're
depends
down
on the episode, she can bring people back from the dead sometimes, just not today.
Just not today. So Liko still is not convinced and decides he's going to prove it, that Picard is all powerful, and he's going to fire an arrow right at him. And the last minute, his daughter kind of lunges at Liko, kind of pushing his aim off, and so it only hits him in the shoulder.
But Picard's got a mechanical heart. He'll be fine. It's made out of metal.
That's fine.
His heart is probably stronger than that bronze tip.
But that wasn't written in yet.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And then at the very last scene, we get Picard saying goodbye to the people and kind of explaining why they can't, they don't interfere, but why they also study people like them.
Play so, Domjot human.
Yes, exactly. They want to play Domjot with the
Bronze Age Proto Vulcan.
Well, what do we want to? I mean, how do? What do you guys want to say about this, Dave? Maybe why don't you go first about talking about this episode? This is another great episode. It's really, in my mind, it was an interesting episode.
Yeah, it was neat. Picard goes out of his way to break the Prime Directive a couple times in this episode because it's already kind of been done.
He doesn't go out of his way. It kind of gets thrusted upon him.
Gets thrusted upon him, but I mean, like, it's sort of like justice all over again, although. They shouldn't have been in a non-warp civilization in the first place, even though they were in Yuuzhan Vong shortly, which is kind of interesting. But it's sort of like that, where like they're just kind of like, in the way. And then it's like, well, oops, now we got to break the Prime Directive since we kind of shouldn't have been here in the first place. Oops, oh well. It was nice to see Picard. We learned about his character a little bit more, and he's...
Well, I mean, think about it. If someone start giving you the credentials of a deity, you know, he definitely did not let that fly whatsoever.
Oh, like, yeah.
When Nuria bows to him, he says, "Don't bow." He says, "You know, you do not want it." He goes, "I don't deserve it.
I don't deserve it, and I don't want it." Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's definitely good. Not to be the not to take it, but I mean, Picard is not a power hungry person to begin with, so that definitely wouldn't be in his character to accept that in any circumstance, I don't think. And right. You know, and being the scientist explorer that he is, he's just like, no, this is just science. You gotta just accept it. This is what's gonna happen for you one day.
Well, what my feeling is more than anything is that this time we see, like I said, I feel like breaking the Prime Directive was thrusted upon him, mm-hmm. but he tried every possible way to get around. Not like first he sends Riker and Troi down there trying to, you know, find out how bad things are and maybe to mitigate and find the scientists. So he doesn't go down there immediately and say, "Ah, oh, this is all a big mistake." You know,
well, he's definitely better about trying to keep it than Kirk was. Kirk's just like, "Oh, fuck it."
Well, we definitely saw a couple times where Picard definitely breaks the Prime Directive. Like, pen pals, you know, he definitely did it there.
Well, he wasn't like, "Oh, fuck it." Data had already pretty much done it, so it was like, "Oh, well."
Well, again, that was kind of thrusted, but then he kind of just went along with it.
Yeah, had fun with it.
I had fun with it.
I saved the planet from annihilation. I got a little bit of a god complex. It's cool.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you think anybody... Actually, there were a couple times, if we look back, especially in the original series, that a couple of Starfleet captains let that kind of stuff go to their heads.
Oh, yeah. Decker?
Decker? Decker went to... Decker didn't do that.
Decker's kind of crazy.
Decker never did that. He just lost his mind when it came to...
his crew all died. Oh, yeah. One of the other Constitution class ships, the guy with nuts?
Well, what was it? Piece of the Action? Not Piece of the Action. What was the one where they go to the Nazi planet?
Oh, yeah. Piece of the Action was the gangster planet.
Was it Pattern of Force?
I don't remember. I'm not super up on my TOS.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Someone will message us on Facebook. I'm sure Philip will. Speaking of Philip, he's like, he messaged us on our last episode's thing, and he was like, yeah, see, I told you about Quentin Tarantino. It's like, yep, you did. You got us, Philip.
Yeah, that's true. He did. But I was hoping that the Tarantino thing would be kind of like...
I was hoping it would be good, and then he sounds like he's an idiot. So that's bad.
Right, right.
But what did you think about this episode, Aaron?
I love this episode. I thought it was really interesting, just the conundrum he's put into and how he reasons with Nuria and kind of like takes her point by point. It's like, you know, didn't you people used to live in caves? And, you know, you've kind of like moved to huts and, you know, you've learned how to use bows. But what if one of these cave people saw you using bows? They'd think you'd be magic. You know, it's like it's the same thing with us. And how he logically makes those steps with her and she, you know, follows along. So I think it was great. I really do. I really enjoyed how he kind of reasoned with her and then tries to reason with Liko, but Liko's maybe not the most reasonable man.
I'm crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So
I saw the god. It's true.
What about you, Holly? What'd you think of this episode?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Picard wasn't too emotional this episode. I didn't feel like he was too emotional. He was more, like, analytical. Mm-hmm. But he does show that he is dedicated to the Prime Directive. And even though he would rather have, you know, let a man die to protect the future of a people, he'd still do whatever he thought was best. And if that means, you know... Breaking the rules.
And the thing is, too, I mean, technically, and we did a whole Prime Directive series as well on all the different Prime Directives and if they broke them or not. But you were supposed to let them, you know. I guess you're supposed to let them break those, like someone die, like Liko.
Yeah, you don't interfere at all. You let them die. You let you try to get your own people out so that the other people don't get discovered. But
right, and we did a five part series. If you ever want to go back and listen to all our Prime Directives breakdown,
Prime Directive, yes,
that was did a 5-part series. It was episode 145 to 160. It's 145 to 150.
I was gonna say that's not five.
That's a lot of episodes. We'd be exhausted.
That's a lot of Prime Directive. But we did a bunch. It was a pretty good deep dive.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, God, the things we do for Star Trek. I thought this was interesting that he finally had to kind of like break the Prime Directive completely just to fix the this race, not to use him as a god, because there's no way he was going to let that stand. You know, he just was not going to allow them to worship any kind of idea of who he might be.
Yeah, and that's a good person.
Mm-hmm. I just thought that when he meant... I think you guys were both looking at the I don't deserve it line as like... he's got a good heart and, you know, doesn't have like an ego in that way. But I actually took that as I don't deserve it as in like it's misplaced.
That's what I kind of felt it the same way too. It's like, this is not, you should not bow to me. This is not, I'm not that person. I'm just like you, you know, I'm equals. It's just that,
doing my 9-to-5s.
Yeah, but I'm just in a different setting, you know, technology wise than you are. You know, my race has progressed faster.
One day you'll get iPods and it'll change your life.
Yes. Remember iPods?
You learn how to make meatloaf? Oh, yeah.
Put a little gravy or ketchup on that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Just don't cook it with the ketchup on. Put the ketchup on after you've cooked it.
Yes, definitely don't do that. Do you like ketchup or do you like
gravy? You're supposed to put ketchup in it and then top it.
No, don't top it. After it's baked.
Do you ever put gravy on it?
No.
I'm not a gravy person. I like ketchup more.
Do you not like gravy at all, Dave? Or is it?
I'm just not a fan of gravy. I prefer.
Really?
I'm a more big fan of Worcestershire sauce in place of gravy.
I would have pegged you as more of a gravy guy.
So what do you put on your taters? Like your mashed potatoes?
Worcestershire sauce.
You put Worcestershire sauce on your mashed potatoes?
Yeah, it's so good.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have pictured that. No. I'm a gravy guy. I could do gravy all day long.
Gravy.
The gravy train.
The gravy train.
Well, I'm Spork, and this is Dishwasher. Oh, no, Holly's Spork, but I'm Holly today, I guess. And then,
no, Holly's Data. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Data. Right.
So yeah, I don't know. These are great. These are great little like windows of Picard. I mean, it doesn't tell you everything. I mean, obviously, it's a more complex story than that. But I kind of feel like these are more. You see, maybe more of the content of his character through these episodes. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we see, you know, in Measure of Man how he stands up and fights for his crewmates, and it's, you know, especially ones that he feels are vulnerable to people trying to manipulate them. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is where he sees something, you know, the Prime Directive, which tells him, you know, just leave it the way it is. But then he's like, I can't, because I can't allow this to, I can't allow these people to think that I'm a god.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's got me kind of scratching my head is I know we're doing this deep dive on Picard. But the thing is, how much influence does Patrick Stewart have in the writer's room? I know he's been in the writer's room, but how much is he able to like impart upon them for how the story will go? Because I mean, Discovery's quote unquote had their canon people there to make sure canon was adhered to, but they seem like they're locked in a closet and they don't get the time of day.
Yeah, but so, I feel like when you have Patrick Stewart working for you, if he goes, "This isn't what Jean-Luc would do," they would go, "Okay."
I mean, maybe they're more collaborative and stuff like that, but like the joke, I think it was before we started recording, because we were talking about how I read an article where Jonathan Frank said that Riker and Troy were still together, and we were joking that they were in the middle of her
menopause.
Yeah, her band is at menopause, where her sexual drive is 4 times higher, and they're just banging all the time because she's at that peak now, because she's probably about that age. Because it's in real time, about 20 mm-hmm. years after Nemesis, so that's right in her peak area. And then it's like you were saying how that wouldn't probably ever come up because the writers don't know. And so I'm wondering how much the writers are going to play into this and not know things about Picard. And what if Patrick Stewart doesn't remember?
Well, that's for a fact. I mean, all these actors, they deliver thousands of lines, and they don't remember everything about their characters. It's guys like us, and they sit there and just watch these things and obsess.
And that's what we do here on the podcast. We watch things and obsess, and it's great too. But it's just that's just what's scaring me about this thing. It's like we're getting inside the mind of Picard, and like our mind to his mind. We want to make decisions like he would before he would make them. But if the writers don't know, and if he doesn't remember, the show could still be a disaster. I don't want it to be. I hope it won't be. And like I said last week, I think the trailer has got me a big hope. I'm really excited to see Jerry Ryan back as 7 of 9. I hope it's just not a cameo, because she turned down being in First Contact because she didn't want a cameo bit piece. Or no, maybe it was Nemesis. Well, they saw Admiral Janeway. Maybe it was Nemesis. I think she was supposed to have a bit part in Nemesis. She didn't want to do a cameo. So I'm hoping, since she didn't want to do a cameo before, that if she's in it, it's a substantial part. So I really hope that we get a lot of her. That'd be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, if this is a Borg-centric, I think we're going to get more of her.
I mean, they're bringing Hugh in, for goodness sake. I mean, like, that's a really far callback.
She'd be a good liaison.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like, people were complaining online that they didn't know each other, they weren't friends. I'm like, well, they were both assimilated by the Borg. Once they're back in the same quadrant, you'd think they'd probably, like, compare notes or, like, or be stationed together, or, like, maybe he had to observe her whenever she came back. We have no idea what happened to her after Voyager, because Voyager just stops. We have no idea what happens to any of them afterwards. I mean, maybe she was assigned to Picard just because he's the next best thing to make sure she's really okay, since he used to be a Borg too. You know, I mean, maybe they became friends for 20 years. Who knows?
They have a Borg recovery group.
it's BA.
Yeah.
The VA meetings.
The VAs.
Borg's Anonymous.
Borg's Anonymous, yeah. That's great.
That's great.
I love it.
So, yeah, they went to the VA meetings.
There's a lot that I want to stay hopeful. I want to stay positive. You know, I don't want to, like, get, like, all down on it. So, I mean, it's very possible that they might screw it up. But I'm hoping they don't. I'm hoping they keep somewhat to where it should be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm hoping they will. Like, the trailer looks great. It looks promising. It's, I know people were a little upset that it's, like, too many things. Like, oh, remember this? Oh, remember this? Remember this? I'm like, sure. But that's how trailers are almost always designed if they're a sequel to something. Mm-hmm, I mean, there's not much getting around that. Usually sequels are like, oh, remember this? Here's this. Here's more of this. So, I know Patrick Stewart has said, don't think of this as a sequel to Next Gen, but it's Picard, it's Data, it's Seven of Nine,
it's not a sequel, it's a continuation. And it's like, if you know anything about anybody's life, it's like, what you did 4 years ago, you know, 10 years ago, it's totally different. You know, it's like, very, very rarely people are doing the same thing after 20 years, you know. The whole scene has changed. I always made a joke that, you know, I think every like 5 to 10 years, like, well, a lot of your friends have cycled totally different friends, different scene, sometimes different, place, you know, that you're living, you know, like a totally different, you know, town or whatever. So things change quite a bit.
Oh, for sure. So, nothing in the trailer seemed too far out, and so I'm definitely excited. So I'm hoping for the best, and I think stuff yet to come that we haven't talked about yet will probably be more relevant to Picard series, because it's the more recent stuff that they're probably going to latch onto. Although Borg isn't most recent; it's like fairly early, I think, like season. It's not early. It's like mid to late because it's after he becomes the Cutis.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So it's like season 4 or 5, I guess, Cyborg happens, so...
Yeah, probably.
So that is sort of later. So, I mean, like, they are seem like to be drawing on more later things with Picard, for the Picard series. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. I hope it's not super pandering, because, I mean, everyone loves the Borg. So that's one thing that's got me scared a little bit, because it's Borg-centric, and Voyager kind of neutered the Borg. Hopefully they'll bring the Borg back and make them scary again. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe things changed quite a bit with the Borg. I mean, it's 20 years.
Yeah, it has. So, in the book series, there's the book series, the Destiny Trilogy, which I highly recommend. It goes through the origin and the destruction of the Borg. And Picard is definitely involved in the destruction.
Interesting.
So maybe...
But who knows if those are canon now?
Oh, no, the books are never canon. Nothing written Star Trek was ever canon. It was always just things on screen, except for the animated series. And then sort of the animated series is sort of canon, but...
Sort of not.
Yeah.
Thank God, because then we'd have to actually watch them.
Hey, we do watch them. We do talk about them sometimes.
We're going to talk about animated series next week just because you said that.
Yeah. Put you through that torture.
I'm going to be busy.
I got other things to do.
You don't want to watch Spock draw a pentagram on the ground and cast back magic and talk to the devil? What's wrong with you?
No, I really don't.
Yeah, Spock and the devil become best pals. And then Spock gets a really, really big one on the planet with talking plants.
There's talking plants. Yeah, it's anime series.
Do they sing
bonkers.
Like in Alice in Wonderland? You can learn a lot of things from the flowers.
No,
they kind of just attack them.
Well, then I'm not a fan.
Oh, right.
It's my requirement,
okay? The episode
okay?
where Spock has his pet saber-toothed bear.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm busy.
I got things to do. I got to wash my hair. All right, well, should we wrap up this episode, guys?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad that we're peeking in on the life of Picard before we get The new Picard. So.
The new Picard.
Yeah, we're still like 6 months before Picard at least, so...
We got lots to talk about, I'm sure. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So much Picard, so little time. All right, well, again, you can find the show online at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook conversation at facebook.com/group/synthaholics. Check out our Twitters at David_J_Duncan, Aaron's at Blackbird2005, the show's at Synthaholic Duo, and Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us there. Nice things would be, if you could say nice things and give us stars, that'd be wonderful. Also, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/synthaholics. Throw us $1 a month. It's not much to ask. It helps keep our lights on, keep us recording, and hopefully... we could come visit you and hang out in your house if you give us enough money. And then lastly...
Will you house us and feed us and bathe us?
What?
So will you house us and feed us and bathe us?
Yes, oh. Please. Please do.
Oh, I'm not part of this deal.
I don't want to go.
Nobody's You're going, You'll Holly. Rub our back and we'll rub your back, You're Holly. Going. That way it's not stranger danger to you.
No, and then it's prostitution.
Oh, damn it.
Taking baths is prostitution? Since when?
If you make money for us going to somebody's house and they have to get to bathe me, that's prostitution.
I call that a good time. Anyway, if you don't want to do any of those things, one great way to support the show is to share the show either social media or by telling your friends. If you know any proto-Vulcans in the Bronze Age, let them know about this podcast. They won't know what to do with it.
Hand them an iPod. Show them the magic.
But I have no Wi-Fi. Yeah, definitely is a great way to help us out and by spreading the word of the Synthaholic.
Yes, spread it around. Go door to door like the Mormons.
Or the Proto-Vulcans.
Oh, the Proto-Vulcans. Stumble upon
Find
us.
The Picard.
The Picard. We worship ye, Picard. Oh, bald in his head.
Oh, how shiny was his head.
Someone drew a nipple on that. That's interesting. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron and Holly, for recording. It's been great diving into Picard, and I'm guessing we'll be doing more Picard next week, although you may not hear my voice next week.
No, he'll be bathing in somebody's house.
The Nothicans will be bathing me in their, like, weird Dom John bathtub. Dom John human. Like, no,
in a please, bathtub, human?
Please don't. Like, they they probably bathe in, like, just, like, salt fish water or something. It's gonna be gross.
Yeah, some brine. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now Holly's interested.
Now she wants some.
No, but now you'll probably be being bathed by Packlets.
Can you help us go? Why do I have to be naked to help you go?
Have fun with that.
Oh, it'll be frightening. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. Ooh, pack lead baths. Oh, I don't think they bathe.
They probably don't. They probably smell awful. They probably smell like old cottage cheese. The only thing I just thought about just now is that I didn't put in tapestry. Yeah,
it's another hard episode that we did. We did this a long time ago. It was a really good episode. We got some personal Aaron bits in this episode.
Personal Aaron bits. That just sounds wrong.
It does sound wrong.
I'll leave it to David to make things sound wrong. If I didn't, I'm not doing my job right, apparently. You gotta, like, have good content. I think our content's really good. I mean, you know, some episodes are definitely better than others when we dive deeper and get more philosophical, but some episodes don't really call for that.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Like, when you do cat's paw, you can't really get that philosophical.
Yeah. I mean, you just talk about the little...
Giant cat.
Caca! Bird things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. I forgot about that. Hilarious.
Oh, I did see that Picard, I mean, Riker and Troi are together, and they're not in the military anymore. That's one bit of news I saw.
I bet they're hippies.
Oh, man, that'd be great. It's like, I think he's like been hanging out with Troy so long. He's like, I can feel your feelings too, man.
I just have a hard time. Like, I am really bad at giving gifts because I get anxious about whether or not they're going to like it, whether or not they're going to tell me they like it, but secretly hate it. What they'll think of me when I, you know, like, oh, wow, I can't believe that she wanted to get me that. Like, that's so fucking, like, how she doesn't know me at all. So when it comes time for, like, people's birthdays or Christmas or whatever, I have a really hard time. I just don't get anyone anything. And it probably makes me look...
You get sort of paralyzed.
Yeah, I do. So if ever I see something that jumps out at me, then I'm like, oh my god, that's a brilliant idea.
Nice.
I just have to go for it because otherwise I'll just never.
Yeah, yeah.
No one will ever get anything from me.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're like my wife, she's always like buying Christmas gifts all year round.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always like, oh, I got something. I found this on Groupon or whatever, you know. I'm like, okay. I like the last like 3 weeks, I'm like, oh shit, Christmas is almost here.
Right.
That's funny.
I have a problem though where I can't save them for the event. I'm like, oh, I bought you this.
I'm so bad about things. If I buy something, I'm always like, oh, I can't. I'm really bad about keeping a secret.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
I'm really bad. Like, I have to give gifts like almost as soon as I get them. Otherwise, I'll like explode.
That was great.
I think that was good.
That was very good.
Excellent.
We're getting good at clapping.
Mm-hmm. We could start a pep squad.